Okay, now. Okay. So, good morning, everybody. I'm happy to see so many on a wonderful Saturday morning and coming here to be interested in this topic. I will speak, as it was announced, about the G20 and the extraordinary features that we could observe. We know repression for many years, so since there are protests, there is repression. And I will focus on some features that are really new and will show you how a combination of new laws and technology that was or is increasing and to be used for repressive measures, together with the militarization and the use of media. So all this together heightens and, of course, changes the level of repression. First, I start with some numbers, and I must say I can't give you exact numbers because not all activists who were persecuted, arrested, and so on are in contact with the support movements. The police or official authorities are not always presenting correct or updated updated numbers, so take them as really rough estimates. So we have, and it's interesting, they like these jokes, the Special Investigation Commission of the police, they call themselves Black Bloc, and they opened at least 3,400 investigations. In 840 cases, suspects are identified. That does not mean that they are convicted yet, but where the police believes they have identified a name to an act. So the investigations continue and the arrests continue. That means trying to identify activists continues, and the recent arrest took place in France and an extradition of a young guy was just recently done, and he was extradited under the European arrest warrant to Germany to stand trial there, and of course is in detention. So that means the numbers and how searches continue until today and will continue in the next months or even perhaps years. And we have now minimum 156 indictments already, and at least so far, at least 6 persons were acquitted and 58 convicted, but only around 50% of these convictions are final. So several cases were dismissed. If you compare these numbers and with police violence and the cases that we find there, so only to give you the different dimension, despite the fact that a lot of police violence was reported, was observed, was documented, and can be seen on huge video files and photographs, there is at least 167 cases against police officers, and you can guess once how many indictments we have in these cases, and I think it's not a secret, none. So most of these cases are already dismissed despite wonderful documentation of the violent acts against the demonstrators. So let's go now into what happened and what was the picture that we could observe before and during the summit, and I only want to pick some so that you see when it does it starts already very early and before the summit. So we have these typical warnings against troublemakers, and many of these measures were already mentioned, but to see how this, in this case study G20, really was all used, and the German police or authorities have a huge experience with this and make it more and more sophisticated. So they go home or to the workplace of people who already were known to be potential demonstrators or participants in the protest and warn them or issue even prohibitions or ask them to order them to present themselves at the police station, as we heard just before, or express that they are not allowed to participate. So media is used already in advance to warn against all these dangerous and violent demonstrators, and a picture is painted that also those who support them, and this concerns then lawyers, the German Association RAV, where I'm a member and also a delegate here to the AED, was then identified with their potential clients, so there were notes taken. These people are more dangerous because they are represented by an organized legal team, the RAV lawyers, and therefore they are more dangerous because they are highly organized and already prepare that they would be arrested and how to behave then. So then house searches already started early and to warn people and to show we are present, we know you are preparing, you are, will participate, and they took place in all parts of Germany. And were, of course, like I must say always, and especially in Germany where he said the picture, directed against left-wing activists and movements. So, coming closer to the summit, helicopters, and if you were used to control and scan the area already days or weeks before the summit started, and that is of course scaring. They're flying very low above the city, and you feel it has a war scenario. And this threatens, of course, the population and deter citizens also from and protesters to participate. The prohibition of the camp then started, and the police declared large zones, in total 38 square kilometers, as prohibited area for any demonstration. The police was highly militarized, and officially to protect the participants of the summit, but against any terrorist attacks. But some weapons were used against for the demonstrators for the first time, and it became a war-like scenario. The special police task force used rubber bullets, tear gas grenades and smoke cartridges. Military equipment such as grenade launchers were actively used, although they are prohibited for the police. So you see it's just the overlap or the use of methods that are limited to the military but used by the police. This is also a new step or new feature of type of repression. And then, of course, during the entire summit and before and after, comprehensive surveillance against activists and meetings of them, and of course also through civil police who accompanied, who showed up without being recognizable as police, but being infiltrating the movement. So, if we look then beside of the usually used mechanism, what could we identify here at the G20 as very specific? That is the role and the use of media. The police more and more used and extensively used social media. That was also to spread fake news, to confirm fake news, and then to confuse people, and of course also to paint again the picture of the dangerous black bloc and activists. So also to separate them from population or anybody who would like to have participated. And in the protests, and at the other hand, whitewashing the police activities and hiding the real facts, such as the focus of the police on physical injuries against participants instead of arrests. So that means this is a powerful instrument, and the technology, the possibilities are increasingly used by the police to influence and manipulate. And in this age of fake news, it is then difficult to orient oneself and identify what is true, where can I go, who can I trust. Specific was also the withdrawal of the accreditation of 32 journalists on, and they choose as a date for, or the moment to do that, on the eve of the summit, so the evening before the summit started, so that it was impossible for them to get a court ruling on time to do their job. So, of course, nowadays, a long time, it is already clear this was illegal, this measure, but finally 32 people were not accredited, and then it was, the accreditation was withdrawn. So that is a timing that was, of course, on purpose. And at the end of the day, it became clear several journalists or the withdrawal was based on false information that was either not deleted and had to be deleted, whether were identified in any criminal proceedings or so. And the main, or most of them, were excluded then because Secret Service had some information whatsoever, of course not accessible, and then excluded. And what does it mean if these 32 journalists were excluded from doing their jobs? The purpose was, of course, to to exclude critical voices and to mainstream and control journalists and media. Because, of course, the mainstream media, who also work with fake news, or who also hand over information to the police and material, film and photographs to the police. So they were, of course, not excluded. So then I will skip the part how demonstrators were treated in the arrest cells and so, because that was, I must say, sadly, the usual business that they did. And but focus a little bit what was reasoning, and this is interesting for law students or lawyers, because we had many persons coming from other countries in Europe, and what could we observe also that those who were not, who had not, were not based in Germany, were held in detention and not released because of the risk to abscond. So that means, you might know Article 14 of the European Convention for Human Rights. According to person to this article, discrimination among EU citizens is not allowed. So whether they are from any European country or from Germany, they have to can't be discriminated against. So, but the problem is how to get a legal, or come to a legal remedy. And lawyers appealed these decisions to hold European citizens because there is a risk that they would flee and not return for their trial, and to seek for a legal remedy. this was not successful, to go upper and exhaust all remedies that are available, then would need too much time, and finally it was not done. So the release then until one would end at the European Court is years later, so doesn't make sense, and nobody had the time to prepare these steps. If we then look really in this dimension, it was for the first time, the amount of photo and video material collected by the police was more than huge. The police had own material, but they used also material from private mobile phones, CCTV cameras in the public area, and from public transport. In December 2017, and that was really the first time ever, in May 2018 and in August 2018, the police undertook public searches with photos and video material. In total, the photos of 278 persons were published on the website of the police. In addition, videos from situations. It was the biggest public search that ever took place. Judges approved this public, these public searches, although the Criminal Procedure Code requires that these public searches are only allowed when the criminal offense is substantial and balanced against the intrusion into the personal rights. Only on the first day that you can imagine the dimension of the publishing of these photos in the first round, that means in December 2017, there were 2.5 million of clicks. To the first publication in December, more than 10,000 tips were given. 5,900 relevant photo material and 7 terabyte of video material were sent to the police. In this first, that means from private persons who felt it would be invited by the police to send their own material that they took from the demonstrations and activities. And this is only a small part. I'm talking about the first search. And could be higher because we do not, we are not in the possession of the real or full data or full numbers or so. So the results were in the first round that 1/3 of these 107 persons that were photos were published, 1/3 was identified. This is according to the police. I don't know whether it's true, but it's a high. High rate compared to normal investigation work. In the second round, then the police sent these photos also to their European counterparts, so it went a step further, and the searches were extended Europe-wide. Then we, another investigation step was that it was controlled who would click on the photos, who would watch how long these photos. Also to look who is identifies him or herself on the photos, who knows somebody, so to have further investigation steps where to search, at least for those who do not use Tor or any other hiding software for IP addresses. So, of course, critical voices protested and called the public search the biggest mass search, mass screening ever, disproportional stigmatizing. In addition, the invitation to the population to manhunt and to denunciate people recalls fascist police, especially in Germany. And even in cases of an acquittal later, the damaging photos remain in the internet. The persons whose photos are published are often berated, insulted, and threatened in the internet. They are also misused for other purposes because once published, it is out of any control. This goes along, and that's a very important combination to see now how does the police work with this, these photos. And there is a new law. There was a new law introduced and adopted immediately after the summit in July 2017, which allowed the police the 24/7 hours access, automatic access to the authorities where photographs for ID cards or passports are stored. Without any control, without any reasoning, they can 24 hours then access the photographs, which are all biometric photographs, of course, and can then, I'm not so familiar with the technique, but finally look and bring this together with the material that they have from the summit and look where it matches, and with face recognition software, and which was specifically used as well, beside of accessing the photographs in these where the authorities store them for the ID cards. From the ID cards, they used the face recognition software, and which is now for permanent use. Introduced at that time, it was tested, but first in practice used, and according to the police, this technique will then be used to search on left-wing movements. And this software does not only recognize faces, but also any other special characteristics. For example, tattoos, as they are described in any criminal records or where people were already photographed and are described. So it was would also, for example, recognize then birthmarks that are visible or tattoos. And in addition, in combination with this software was used that also pre-screens the entire material and looks to bring together those photos and videos from a certain moment or a time and place. So that when they concentrate on one place, one time, then to have all these sections together. So there is still an error rate, but the technique becomes better and better and facilitates then, of course, so that we expect to have for the next years more and more people identified whose faces, whose characteristics were are visible. Two other things I have to still to mention, so to see and to show you the combination with law amendments, very briefly, just before the summit on time, the law about resistance or assaults against police officers was worsened. That means sanctions are now high. They are privileged. Their personal or their physical integrity is more important and more protected than the physical integrity of any other normal citizen. So it's more sanctioned. Then another important aspect was the interpretation of the law, where it was held or is held now sufficient to be in the crowd that is from which violence is done, and only to be there, giving psychological support, so they do not need to prove anymore that a person has done or participated actively in any of these acts, so simply being there and not going away. So we will see whether this will be held on appeal, but this is also a very dangerous development. I would like to end with another observation more and comment, or let's say observation, that we also could make, that threats from prosecutors against arrested person, if you don't admit, then you will stay longer, you will not be released, had its effects. So we observed many people who admitted and confessed immediately, only because they hoped to can that they could be released. And this was because of threats, but this was also because people who cannot speak the German language are imprisoned, are perhaps don't have a proper legal advice back then, rather believed that it would be easier if they would commit the admit the crime and to be then released. But compared the results, and of course for those of you who are or who will become lawyers, it is important to know that the result at the end to fight in criminal proceedings does not give a bad result. To the contrary, fighting and not speaking and making use of the right to remain silent is usually the better advice. So I will conclude here and hand over to Maria Luisa, I think. Thank you.